Hello, and we hope you're having a great day, and we want to have a better day by studying the Word of God. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas, and we're glad to be with you today. We're studying in the book of Ezekiel. We're studying in chapter 37. We're going to be reading the account of the Valley of Dry Bones. We're going to read that account, and we're going to study it, make some comments about it, and see what it says. But also, we're going to make some application for us today. The Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to read verses 1 through 14 kind of quickly because our time is limited. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I'm glad Ezekiel said that. I'm glad he didn't say no. He knows God's great power, and God could make them live if he wanted to. And so he said, you know whether they can live, O God. Verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breatheth upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. These people were in captivity when Ezekiel was preaching to them. And in chapter 24 of Ezekiel, we read about the siege, the final siege of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is destroyed. It's taken off the existence is taken off the map. In 2 Kings 24 and 25, we read about that very event in history of Nebuchadnezzar's army, the Babylonians, destroying the city of Jerusalem, tearing the walls down, burning the gates, destroying the temple and the palaces. Many died. They were all scattered. Their hope was gone. As we see in verse 11, our hope is lost. The city was wiped off the map, and those who survived were taken into captivity. They had lost all hope. And so this was a sermon of revival. We have a song in our songbook, number 446. It says, "Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." And that's what this sermon was about. Reviving the hope. This is what God was going to do. He was going to revive the nation. God can destroy a nation, and God can make that nation live again. There is great hope. And so the valley was full of bones, very many bones, verse 2, and they were dry. There was no life in them. And so he said, prophesy. What does that mean? Preach to these bones. Preach. The word of God has power. And that preaching brought life to that nation. The Bible says God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has power. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Preach upon these dry bones. And they came to life. The bones came together. The sinews began to cover the bones, and then the skin and the flesh covered the bones. Yes, this nation was going to be revived. It's going to be resurrected from the dead. God's word is powerful. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word was powerful and is still powerful. And God was going to revive this nation. Ezekiel 37 and verse 6, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." God's word was preached. This nation was put back together. And it began when the preaching began. Verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." God's plan works. It always works. God's plan never fails. And so when he said to preach to this nation, that nation revived. They all revived, and it was a revival that was witnessed. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 37, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe breath upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army." God did this. God, this is a vision of God resurrecting this nation. It looked like it was totally destroyed. Jerusalem was wiped off the face of the map, and yet under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we find this nation being put back together by the powerful preaching of Nehemiah and Ezra and Haggai and Malachi and Zechariah. They preached the word. God's word is powerful. God wants preaching. You remember the great prophet Jonah went to the city of Nineveh and preached to it, and the whole city repented, and that city was saved. The power of preaching. Throughout the Bible, we read about God sending preachers, God sending prophets. Jesus was a preacher. The 12 apostles were preachers. The evangelists were preachers. John the Baptist was a preacher. That's how God gets his will done, is by the preaching of the powerful word of God. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And this passage has some reference to the day of Pentecost. There were Jews from all over the world. They were scattered during the days of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And they were in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And Peter in Acts chapter 2 stood up and preached this powerful gospel sermon to them. And it says in verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they understood the sin that they were in. And they asked what they should do. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. God took people who were dead in sin and resurrected them into the great spiritual kingdom of the church. And it is no wonder that what we read throughout the book of Acts is the preaching and proclaiming of the word of God and the conversion of the lost. The word of God is powerful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, beginning with verse number 1, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was a powerful message. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that kind of preaching right there caused these sinners to repent. It caused in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it caused the unrighteous to turn from their unrighteousness. It caused fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, it caused them to change because of the powerful word. And verse 11 says, such were some of you. The wonderful word of God turned people away from their sin and turned them to God. And so the valley of the dry bones, God's word is preached, and people who are dead in sins can be raised to walk a newness of life. In Ephesians, it happened to the city of Ephesus. Because we read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, you hath he quickened. That means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. The gospel came to the wonderful city of Ephesus, and people were brought back from the spiritual death that they were in. I love the book of Romans chapter 6, where it says that you can be raised up by hearing and obeying the word of God. You know, in Ezekiel 37, the nation had been destroyed because of their sin, but God was going to raise them up again, and he did. And just in that same way, God can raise us up from spiritual death. Listen to Romans 6, beginning in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, watch this now, into death. They're going to be raised from the death of Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you also should walk in newness of life. When we're raised up from the waters of baptism, we are raised to walk a newness of life. The old man of sin is destroyed, Romans 6. And verse number 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And so it is by the powerful word of God. The Bible is full of men that God sent to preach, to cause them to be changed from death unto life. No wonder Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the word. You know, Ezekiel was told to preach to those dry bones. Those dry bones came to life. God still uses preaching to bring people to life from being dead to sin. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. There is no hope in living in sin, but there is hope in the word of God. It brings us hope. You know, God will eventually raise up all the dead. You know that we've been talking about spiritual dead and God making them alive, quickening them, bringing life to them once again, once they were dead in sin. You don't want to remain dead in your sins. You want to obey the gospel. You want to be baptized so that you can have your sins washed away and so that you can arise to walk a newness of life. And God's going to one day raise every dead person, according to the Bible. In John 5, 28 and 29, marvel not, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They're going to hear his voice. His voice is going to be heard, and they're going to rise from the dead. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Yes, God can raise the dead. He can raise the spiritual dead. And God can raise the physical dead as well. In John 11, Jesus is talking to Martha. And he says in John 11 and 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then right after he said that, He raised Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. He raised him from the dead. God can raise the spiritually dead, and God can raise the physically dead. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that he's actually going to raise the spiritually or the physically dead. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37 is a great passage. He raised up that dead nation of Israel. He brought them back to life so that Jesus could be born and die in Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem and he died in Jerusalem. God raised that nation back up so that his word would be fulfilled. But God's word is powerful and it can raise the spiritually dead. And he does that when our sins are washed away in baptism. But one day God's going to raise all of the physically dead people. He's going to raise them from their grave. Revelation 1 and verse 7 says, every eye will see him when he comes back. They're going to be raised. Every eye will see him. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13, the dead are going to be raised up. Even the sea is going to give up the dead. The power of God is truly astounding. And this should give us great hope for the future. Israel had lost their hope there in Ezekiel 37. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Many of the Israelites had died in that great battle. But God raised that nation back up. And he can do that spiritually with people. And this should give us great hope for the future. God's going to raise all of the dead who have ever lived on the face of the earth. Only God knows how many he's going to raise. He's going to raise everyone. And if we're faithful, we're going to be raised up to everlasting life. Not only can God do this, but God will do this. And we're looking forward to that day. We have hope that we will be raised up from the dead. Now, first of all, we've got to be raised up from being spiritually dead. We've got to obey the gospel just like they did in Acts chapter 2. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said these words that can cause you to be raised up from being spiritually dead. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's what causes you to be spiritually dead, is your sins. And if you remain in your sins, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll obey the words of inspiration, you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. You will repent of your sins. You will confess the name of Jesus before others. And then you will be baptized, just as Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, to rise, to walk a newness of life. You will be alive and you'll never taste that second death, which is the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Today, we have talked about the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37. We have seen that that brought hope to Israel, but we've also seen that you can be raised up from spiritual death, and that gives us hope too. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you as you continue to study the Word of God and study the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones, and receive the great message of hope from God our Father. Thank you for tuning in. Come to see us sometime if you're ever in the Weatherford, Texas area. come to see us at the Windmill Church of Christ. And we hope you'll tune in next time as we continue to study. Thank you. God bless.